Good morning again, folks, and thank you, Holly, Dwight, and Don, as always. Beautiful job, beautiful music. Holly, congratulations on 17 years. I had no idea. My friends, will you pray with me and for me? Father God, as always, I ask your blessing this morning and that your Holy Spirit will speak through me. God, that your Spirit will fill this sanctuary and touch each one of us. Set our hearts on fire, Father, so that we may continue to be instruments of your peace. Amen. You might have seen Karen offer a silent prayer this morning. I know what she was thinking. God, please don't let him say anything too stupid. Well, guess what? There might be a story about you in here this morning. And maybe not. You'll just have to wait and see. Listen close. It took me a while to come up with the title for this one, by the way. Through the week, as I was preparing, thinking about it, making notes, what scripture to use and that sort of thing, Karen would ask, well, what's it about? And I say, oh, religious stuff, you know, religious, Jesus-y stuff. I guess I could have called it that, religious stuff. Finally, I just decided to borrow from Pastor Brian's current theme from the weekly epistle. What does a disciple look like? And by the way, if you are not, again, receiving the emails, the updates, Brian's epistle, that sort of thing, contact the office and you'll get those. Brian wrote on Thursday evening when it came out, Brian says, our current epistle series is about answering the question, what does a disciple look like? This week, he says, I want to invite you to look at your hands. Look at your hands holding a Bible. Or a good book about the Christian way of life. Or watching a webcast or listening to recorded scripture. Look at your hands doing that and think, what does a disciple look like? And this is because disciple means learner. Still reading from Brian's epistle. Disciple means one who learns. It's as simple as that. And Jesus invites him to come, follow me, and we learn of him and his way. His way with a capital W. Now, you all remember when we was kids in school and a paper of some sort was due, a report or whatever your teacher assigned to you. So off we'd go to the library to do our research, right? And I wonder why it was in them days. Librarians and principals and most teachers are like 300 years old and mean as snakes. So you'd struggle through the Dewey Decimal System. Raise your hand if you struggle with the Dewey Decimal System. And you'd find your stack of books and articles about the Amazon rainforest or whatever it was. Nowadays, my phone, it was so easy to look up the Merriam-Webster Dictionary for a definition of the word disciple. Come up on the screen, a follower or student of a teacher or a leader. Simple enough. And checking the word origin, we go back to a Latin word meaning, as Brian said, learner. So what does a disciple look like? Going by those definitions, I'd say one looks an awful lot like us. Amen? Out of curiosity, and because it was so easy, one click, didn't even have to leave my easy chair and look for my thesaurus or argue with a mean librarian. Holly says, why did you just look at me? I looked up synonyms for disciple, and a partial list of different words for disciple are adherent, follower, pupil, student, supporter, admirer, advocate, loyalist. And some that weren't quite so flattering, down at the bottom of the list, lackey, stooge, flunky, a yes man. I thought, well, some I'd not like to be, although I am a flunky for Jesus has a certain ring to it. I might try that for a while. I am a flunky for Jesus. Not so sure about the stooge. Cut it out, you guys. I'm afraid stooge might stick. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip says, and you remember Philip. Philip was the one who went and got Nathanael to tell him about the Messiah early on, doing what a disciple is supposed to do, making other disciples. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Now, if you've got your Bible open, you'll notice, back up a couple of verses, and we hear Thomas first ask, "How can we know the way?" Jesus' answer, I'm sure most of us know it by heart. "I am the way and the truth and the life." Amen. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I skipped verses 5, 6, and 7 on purpose, because those three would make an entire message on their own. It's for another day. For today, I wanted to start with Philip's statement, "Lord, show us the Father." Now, Philip is actually displaying one characteristic of a disciple, of a learner. There's something he might have missed, something he might have misunderstood, but he is looking for more information. Jesus answered in verse 9. Now, I have fun with some of these scriptures because I try to imagine the look on Jesus' face and his tone of voice. "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He reveals to us what God is truly like. Jesus continues, "And I do not speak on my own authority. It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I am in the Father in me. At least believe on the evidence of the works." Now, verse 12, and I really want to emphasize this one. "Very truly I tell you," remember, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." Think about that. We can do what Jesus did. "They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." I thought, honestly, about using that one verse, verse 12, as the scripture for today. I'm sure Carrie would have appreciated that. Up and down, boom, right? There is a lot packed into that one sentence. "Whoever believes in me," whoever believes in me, that is us, my friends, you and me. "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do, we will do even greater things than these." Imagine that for a minute. What does a disciple look like? We shouldn't let ourselves be intimidated by that either. How do we do greater things than Jesus did? That's a lot to take in. "Because," he says, "I am going to the Father." That leaves us as believers, as disciples of Jesus. That leaves us here to carry on the work, to fulfill the purpose of Jesus' mission of redemption. Matthew chapter 28. Great Commission, remember? "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him." Take note of this one. "But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" They worshiped him, but some doubted. Those original, at the time, 11 disciples, they had a lot to take in too. after the crucifixion and the resurrection, it took time, I'm sure, for some of them to process everything, all that they'd seen and heard. Of course they had doubts. So if you ever have doubts, and I know I do, do I pray enough? Do I read my Bible enough? Do I share my faith enough? Am I committed enough? Am I spiritual enough? Rarely. The 11 disciples went to Galilee. They worshiped him, but some doubted. Folks, we're in good company. Now the good news for them and for us, even with our doubts and our insecurity, we don't have to go it alone. Our reading from chapter 14 stopped at verse 12, continuing from there, because I'm going to the Father, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, when he says we can ask for anything, we have to remember that our asking has to be in his name. And that must be according to God's will and God's way. I've said it before, it's not like a genie in a bottle and a magic formula. Jesus, I need a new BMW. In the name of Jesus, it ain't going to happen. Pray for strength, pray for wisdom. Pray for a stronger faith. Ask the Lord in his name to help us share that faith and to go make disciples by sharing our faith. That's what a disciple looks like. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's another pretty familiar passage. Pretty clear and pretty self-explanatory. If you remain in me and I in you, you are the vine, I am the branches. This is absolutely necessary. Without that relationship, without Jesus in our hearts, we have nothing. Now, Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, I don't think I want to be a branch that gets thrown away and withers or thrown in a fire and burn. I want to bear the fruit. You know, I'm going to stop for just a second here. I appreciate you gals up in the booth so much. Gay is always happy when she's on slides on my day preaching because she just gets to sit and listen. And I know y'all like it because we get out of here earlier than Pastor Brian does. So next time, guess what? I'm going to have 92 slides and I'm going to ramble on for 55 minutes. If you remain in me, which I believe we all do, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It is pointless to pray unless we know and we believe the word of God. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The Father, God, is glorified in the work of his Son, and he is glorified when we bear fruit as his disciples. Amen. In between the two passages, chapter 14 and chapter 15, later in chapter 14, Jesus promises us some help. If we love him and keep his commands, he promises what? An advocate to help us, who will be with us forever. The Spirit of Truth, it's called in that verse, the Holy Spirit. We can overcome our doubts and our insecurities through prayer in Jesus' name by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. What does a disciple look like? So, another obvious questions might be, Lord, is it hard to be a disciple? Big question, how do we go and make other disciples? You remember Brian's epistle. Look at your hands holding a Bible. A disciple is a learner, and Jesus invites us to learn of him and his way. There's a good start. If we commit ourselves to read the Word of God every day, or to recommit if it's something you already do. So if to be a disciple is to learn about Jesus and to learn his way, to make a disciple is to get others interested in learning about Jesus. almost said get them hooked. I'm not suggesting we all start going door to door handing out religious tracts. I ain't going to do that. But you remember the woman at the well Brian spoke about last week. Like the Lord, we can meet people where they're at. We don't have to have a Bible in our hands. We don't have to be ready to preach a sermon. Meet them where they're at and show a genuine interest in their lives, and you'll be surprised at how quickly a real relationship can get started. Then you can talk about your faith and what the Lord does in your life. And guess what? You've made a learner out of somebody. We don't have to go looking far for people to meet either. Clerks at the 7-Eleven, teller at your bank, waiter, waitress at your favorite restaurant, the gal that checks you out at the Safeway, the couple sitting next to you at the Jiffy Lube. Karen, you remember? Karen and I were at the Jiffy Lube waiting for our car. We didn't approach this old couple, they approached us. I don't know if we had Christian written all over our foreheads or what, but this old Navajo couple just walked up to me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Sir, will you pray for my wife and I?" When I have a 7-Eleven clerk that I see on a regular basis, even somebody new, all I do is ask sincerely, "How is your day going?" And people can tell. When you really want to know, it's more than just a casual greeting. It's not just, "Hey, how you doing? How are you today?" I hear people's life stories sometimes. As often as not, they open up about something that's on their minds and they just pour their hearts out. I try to make it a habit not to leave without saying, "I'll pray for them." And believe me, with all the years we've lived here, the 7-Elevens and the bank tellers, I have established some long-lasting relationships. People are lost and desperately in need of Jesus, folks. And we can show him to people by our words and by our works. Now, story about Karen. I'm proud of her, by the way. Just last week, she took some stuff to the Goodwill, and she told me when she got home, she got out of the car, told the two fellas, "We are going to pray first," before they unloaded the car. And they were so appreciative, Karen said. She prayed with them and for their works. And that's what a disciple looks like. I look around here and I see disciples right here, up in the balcony. I see free store volunteers. I see Monday night dinner volunteers. The decorating committee that makes the sanctuary look so good. My ushers. People at chairs sit on boards. Musicians and singers. People on committee. I can't list everybody, but thank you for your service, everybody. One of the speakers at our general conference in Lubbock last month, and I've forgotten her name, gave a message about sharing her faith, and she had decided some time back to make a commitment to herself, and her commitment was this. Every time from now on she goes out to eat, she says, she promised to ask her waiter or waitress, "Can I pray for you today? How can I pray for you today?" She said the first time she tried it, the young fellow waiting on her thoughts for a second and said, "Nah, I'm good." And she thought, well, if that's the worst that's going to happen, this ain't too hard to do. And she shared stories, like I mentioned earlier, of people just pouring their hearts out to her. So I'm going to issue a challenge, folks, and I won't push you to pray for your waiter or waitress every time you eat from now on, but will you try it once in the next few days? Will you? I will. So is it hard to be a disciple? Well, yes, kind of. And if you do begin to establish a relationship with somebody who is not yet a believer, it can be a little intimidating as time goes on. But remember, you do not have to be a Bible scholar or have all the doctrines of our church memorized or the Book of Discipline in your back pocket. Simply share your story, what God has done and is doing for you. Engage with them and let God's love be your motivation and your guide. You might get some uncomfortable questions from them, by the way, as they begin to learn more. I've been asked, why does bad things happen to good people? I've been asked, why is it wrong for people to live together without being married? If I don't know the answer, I'm honest with them and I tell them that. But I'll find somebody that can help them. Send them to Pastor Brian. Send them to me. I can help them. Father God, thank you. Will you pray with me, folks? God, I pray that we may all continue to be learners, to be your disciples who do bear fruit. And let us go and make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.